All right, we're going to get started. This is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of February 23rd, 2012. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Beatty.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, we're all here. And just a quick programming note for those of you who like to keep score at home. As an ongoing effort to build our governance team and our professional development, we've decided to change the way that we do our Robert's Rules tonight. So for some of you who have never been to any of these meetings, or you probably wouldn't know, but those of you who do follow along, and I'm only saying that because at some point in this meeting I'm going to mess that up. So so I just ask you to be patient, and again, it'll help us be more efficient, I think, and really, again, kind of build ourselves professionally. So next up, the Pledge of Allegiance. Mrs. Davis, I ask that the young kids lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance tonight.
I'm going to go behind you. You want to face the flag, and we'll put our right hands on our heart, and I'll say 1, 2, 3, and we'll start. You ready? 1, 2, 3.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. That's it. Look at them. They're talking.
We'll have to bring you back. Okay, next up, the adoption of the February 23rd, 2012 agenda. I need a motion to accept that, please.
Salute.
Any second?
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is Employee of the Month. I move that we accept Annie Leonard as the January 2012 Employee of the Month. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
Okay, moved and second. Dr. Reimer.
I'll ask Annie to come forward.
How exciting.
This is really a pleasure for me. I just met Annie Leonard last week, and I found her to be everything that she's described in the outline and in the certificate that we're going to give to her. And I want to read parts of it to you because I don't know Annie very well personally, but the things that were said about her were just so wonderful. I want to read it to you. And you know that this award is given by her fellow employees. They nominate and then they select her. And they've decided that she indeed represents them very positively. And listen to what they said about her. They said that Annie has been an amazing addition to the Mill Valley office. She has such a positive outlook and greets everyone with a smile. She goes out of her way to make everyone feel welcome and always tries to help them in any way she can. This friendliness and helpfulness extends to her phone communication as well. She's been a tremendous help to the whole staff at our school. She goes out of her way to help them in any way possible, always with a smile and positive words and encouragement. She splits her day between the office and the cafeteria. In the cafeteria, she serves as a building cashier. And in her role in the cafeteria, she does things like present a very friendly face to all of our students, and she truly cares about each and every one of them. She helps them make nutritional choices, keeps an eye on students who may not be eating enough or eating well enough, and she helps maintain order with the cafeteria setting. We appreciate her enthusiasm, her genuine happiness that she shares each day that she works at our school system. So your fellow employees are very proud of you, and so are we. Congratulations. The resolution is signed by all of the board members.
Oh, wow.
And there's a gift card for you also.
Oh, thank you so much.
Those are, again, some of the comments that were made about
you. Great. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Any comments from any members of the board?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have to say, when you walk in that Mill Valley office, if you walk out of there, you know, with a frown on your face, it's certainly because they didn't talk to you.
I love it there very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you
stay up there for a minute? Since she's from our building, you want to take that picture and give it to her?
And it's very funny because they generate the letter. One thing that says is that she's happy all the time, that she smiles all the time. It makes everyone else feel happy. So isn't that nice that the children know the same thing?
Yeah.
You want to walk it over and give it to her? Say, excuse me. And then you can bring them back to her.
Okay? Oh, you guys are so thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Annie.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. I forgot to mention when you came in, there are agendas up front. If you would like to address the board tonight, there's a form here if you wouldn't mind filling out before you do so. Don't be embarrassed. If you want to come on up right now and get one. Okay, one at a time. All right, next up is the Mill Valley number talks. Mrs. Davis from
okay.
Mill Valley.
All right, before we begin, I'm going to have my guest. First of all, I'm Mary Davis, and I'm a first grade teacher at Mill Valley. And before we begin, I'm going to ask my guests to stand up, and then as I go by, they're going to introduce themselves to you, okay? And I'm going to tap you so we all don't do it at once, okay, boys and girls? All right, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Lincoln Cotton.
Terrific.
Hi, my name is Camden Hicks.
Hi, my name is Daniel Cruz.
Hi, my name is Isabella Dean.
Hi, my name is Jaden Norris.
Hi, my name is Josie Crosby.
Hi, my name is Jacob Chung.
Hi, my name is Gigi Bex.
Hi, my name is Gabrielle Gay.
Okay. Boys and girls, remember, I have to talk for a little bit, so can you sit down, crisscross applesauce for a moment? Thanks. I'm going to leave these. This is an article that talks about the philosophy behind number talks and gives a little information. I'm going to touch lightly on it, but I think the most powerful thing for you guys to see is the demonstration. But I thought if any of you would like this. I apologize. But I have handouts for almost everyone. And then these are handouts that are going to talk about the main points I'm going to talk about. And then also what the kids are going to do.
Thank
okay?
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Here you go. You're welcome. You're welcome. And then you guys might take them one and just pass them. So, thanks. Okay. I'm going to start, boys and girls. Okay. First of all, one of the things I'd like to talk about is I am one of the math department chairs for the district. There tends to be one per building, but in our building, when it first was developed, we wanted one from each grade level. And so I was teaching kindergarten at the time, and a first grade teacher, we split it. So we still work together because I have just found one of the best things I've ever done in my teaching career is collaboration. So I love having Beth Lambert as the co-chair. But one of the things about being a department chair is that we have had the opportunity to go to meetings, and there are math teacher leader meetings, and they are held by the Teaching and Learning Collaborative, which is a wonderful organization. And as a result of going to those meetings and learning things and bringing information back, we also were allowed on our own, we weren't required to, but to take courses. And it's been interesting for me to be a math department chair because math was not easy for me to learn as a child. I have since discovered as an adult that math reasoning, for some people, is automatic. They're born with it. It's an innate ability. It is not for everyone. And so we have a moral and ethical obligation to help our children learn math reasoning. I was not one who could reason. So taking these math classes, I've not only become a better teacher, but I've become a better mathematician, and I'm in my 50s, go figure. So anyway, one of the courses I took was Number Talks. And Number Talks is not a math curriculum. It's one small component. It should take 5 to 10 minutes a day, and it's to help with mental computation and mathematical reasoning. And so it's not an entire math program. It just works on the basic computation skills. And the thing I really like about it is we are transitioning to the Common Core, and we have been working really hard at K-1-2 this year at developing working within the math program we have, but also supplementing to make sure. And the big thing about the Math Common Core is it goes deeper. We aren't covering as many standards, but we are going deeper and encouraging deep thinking, mathematical reasoning, flexibility, accuracy, all those things. And Number Talks is a perfect fit for that. And so what has happened as a result, I took a course last year, and as I always do, came back and started talking, oh guys, this is so cool, this is so cool, started doing them, didn't do it right initially, because that's also some things that I do, I jump in with both feet and get going. But as a result, I started talking to other people about it, and as a result of that, we are doing a book talk in the district, and there are 32 teachers taking it right now. We've already had 3 sessions. They're doing it in their classrooms at various levels, and they are able to get a credit through Ashland because I was able to fill out paperwork and become an adjunct for Ashland. So not only, but really, I'll be honest, over half of them are taking it not for credit. They're just giving up their time to come because they want to try it in their classrooms. Okay? So what we're going to do is I'm going to model first grade number talks, but I need to preface it with number talks, you go through different strategies. And you don't always name the strategy because what children do is, as they progress through the strategies, there might be a strategy that really works for them. So they might, you'll hear them solving these equations different ways. And that's okay. Because ultimately, you're not doing an algorithm, you're solving a mathematical problem. And you're going to see that. Number talks, we start with what? In the primary games, we start with Brooke Hendricks. I'm going to show them a few. I have a favor. Will you each take one? Because that's what we're going to start with. Thank you. Rick Henrik and one of the first grade teacher's husband. You can do it on cardboard, but he likes more than 2 navies and he loves these. But anyway, as you can see, it's 10 beads on the top, 10 beads on the bottom. And we do some problems with that. And they'll share out their strategies and you will see that. But I want you to see that. Then the next thing we go to, and I would do whatever the strategy is, I would do a set of 9 days of 3 or 4 problems a day just with the chemics. You're going to see the next step, too. Then we use 10 frames. And then you do the same thing. You would do up to 3 cards a day, whatever the strategy is, for 9 or 10 days. And then the last step is written equations. So we're going to actually do, you're going to end up seeing all 3 of those tonight because I want you to get a sampling of all of them.
Great.
Okay? And then at the end, if you have any questions, either for myself or the boys and girls, I told them there might be questions. All right? Okay, boys and girls. Got them? Ready? Boys and girls, look at my eyes. You're doing a really good job. Thank you. Slide them all over. Here we go. All right, I would like you to, and don't forget our signals. I apologize. This means I'm ready and I have a strategy. This means I have more than one strategy. When someone shares their strategy, if I agree with it, I go like this. I use that same strategy, but I might have another strategy too. I do this. One of the reasons we try not to have them raise their hand is because I don't know if ever in a class, particularly as I got older, when a hand went up, I quit thinking because I thought, oh good, someone else is going to answer it. And so we talk about our right to learn. Sometimes hand still goes up because we're human and that happens. I'll give you heads up while you see that. All right, 6 on the top, 4 on the bottom. And then let me know when you're ready. 6 on the top, 4 on the bottom. You guys see, I meant to turn so you guys can see. Boys and girls, I apologize. Do you mind if I put the chair here and you turn that way? Because I'd like them to see your hand signals. I meant to do that. I'm sorry. Thank you, boys and girls. All right. Okay, ready? All right. Camden?
10.
10? What was your strategy, please?
I had 6, then 4 more. Then you can count on 4 more.
Count on 4 more. Good. All right. Josie, how many?
I had 6.
Okay, all right, so you used double and then went back 2. All right, Gigi?
10.
What was your strategy, honey?
I just knew that 6 and 4 is 10.
Oh, you knew one, oh, combination of 10? Okay, anybody have another one, Daniel?
I traded this one back and put this one forward and then it was 5.
So, okay, I'm going to show that up. What he did is he slid this one back and did that because he knows 5 and 5 is 10.
Oh, and
okay.
I noticed something. It's on the same top. It's on the same side because there's 10 on each row, so it makes us at the same side.
So, in other words, you're saying 6 and 4 and 6 and 4 because we have 10. All right, excellent. Did I get everybody? Jaden, do you have another one? Okay, and what was your strategy, honey?
I counted on.
You counted on. Did you count on from 6 or 4?
6.
Okay, thank you. All right, guys, ready for the next one?
Yeah.
All right, the next one is six on the top and six on the bottom. Gabrielle? 12, and what was your strategy, please? You knew six and six, you knew the double? Okay, all right. Isabella?
12.
Okay, can you tell me your strategy?
I know six and six is 12, and I said six, and I counted on more six, so
okay.
I did two.
Okay, you did two different ways. Excellent. All right, anybody else have a different way? Okay, you ready?
Wait, I have a different way.
Okay, what is it, honey?
10, 11, 12.
Oh, so you looked at the 10 and then went 11, 12? Yeah, 10, 2 is 12. Excellent. All right. Okay, you ready for the last one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want 6 on the top and 8 on the bottom.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Can you tell me what you did? You counted on from 8. Excellent. Good job. How about Daniel?
I counted the 5 red ones, I mean the 10 red ones, and then counted on the 4 white ones when I was 14.
Okay. All right. Yes. Josie?
Last, I took away the 2 and it was, I took away the 2, and it was
12
because
6
plus
6
is
6
plus
6
equals
12,
and I added
2
more.
And 12 plus 2 is 14?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jane?
I know last time I took 6 plus 6 equals 12, and if I add one more, it's 14.
Let's see. 6 and 6 is 12, right? And then 1 more is
13.
And then 1 more is
14.
You see, because we have 5, 6, 7, 8. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Thanks for being brave. Any other? Reagan, I'm sorry. How many were there, honey?
I said, you see what I need 4, and then I need 10 plus 4.
Okay, so you made it like you put this one back, had 4, and 10 plus 4 is 14? Okay. All right. Excellent. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you agree or you have another one? You agree. Okay. Excellent. All right, boys and girls, can you do me a big favor? We're going to put the Rickenricks and go on to 10 credits. Thanks for doing a good job. Thank you. Thanks, guys. I think we got them all. Sometimes we do math problems, put them away, but I didn't do that. All right, are you ready? All right. Hey, Gabrielle, do you want to come up over here? I want to just make sure I see your thumb when you're ready. I'm sorry, honey. I really appreciate you being willing to move. Thank you. And you know what? I apologize again. You're going to turn your bodies. I'm going to hold it this way so that they can see you guys. Keep moving us around, don't I? All right, are you guys ready? Okay, here's the first one. I'll show them, and then I'll show them. They can see it, but it's really important. I'm not going to have them do the thumb yet. I just want to make sure you guys see it. Thank you. What'd you do?
I said those four back down.
Right. And then, okay, you moved them right down here and you made a 10 frame. All right, cool. Josie?
It was kind of the same. I just moved all of those up to there and he moved those down, but I moved those up.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to say. Oh, lots of people did that one. All right. Gigi?
put that one up there, and then I knit that. I knit that five up there, and five up there, 10.
Double 5 plus 5. Okay, excellent. Did you have a different way? Okay, you want to tell us it? Okay, so you went 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 counting on strategy. Okay. Okay. Daniel?
I remembered on the 10th rank, I mean on the Rick Henricks, it was 6 and 4. So that's how I remember it was 10.
Right. Remember our combinations of 10 go fish too, right?
Yep.
6 and 4 is a combination. You agree? All right, good. You guys ready for the next one? All right. Speaking of that, huh? All right. Jaden?
8.
Good. What was your strategy, please?
4 plus 4 equals 8.
You know that double, don't you? All right, look at the other people. Oh, did you?
I thought it was 5 and 5.
Oh, yeah, do you see that spot? Is that okay? Some of our best learnings come from
mistakes.
Right? So it's okay. Did you agree that it's 8 now? Okay, good. All right. Do you have another way? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Oh, so you knew when you moved it up here because 8 and 2? I see. Okay. All right, ready for the last one?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Tricky.
It is a little tricky. They all take that last one
for us, don't they? What's the thing? It puts the tail on the bottom.
Lots of somewhere else. Ooh, okay. Gigi.
13.
Okay, can you tell me your strategy?
I took that one away and I knew 6 plus 6 equals 12, and then I just added it and it made 13.
Okay. Cool. Jaden, how many did you get? Did you have 13 also? What was your strategy, honey?
Well, I counted all of them and left the one more, and then I knew that it was 13.
So you counted up to 12 and then did 12 plus 1? Okay, cool. Camden?
I counted on 10, then I counted on.
Oh, like this and this?
Yeah, like 10, then
10.
9, 3.
Okay, 10 and 3. Okay, 13. All right, and yes?
I moved the 3 up there and then I counted on.
Oh, you moved them up there to make a 10?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. And then you counted on from there? Okay. Good. Okay, did I get everybody's? Did you have another way or are you okay? Good. Okay. All right, now we're going to do some equations. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what else to do. But you know what you need? This is a lot of options, kiddos. All right. But you know what? They'll be able to see the equation. They're used to equations like this. The 10 frames of their chemicals were kind of new to them. So here we go. I'm going to write an equation, and then when you know the answer, I want you to raise your hand. Oh, I'm sorry. I said raise your hand. You know what to do. I apologize. You know what? You knew the right thing, even though I said the wrong thing, didn't you, Reagan?
I thought that was crazy.
Yeah. But Gigi, aren't you used to me by now? Okay. All right. Now that we've had that moment, let's move on. All right. Isabella, can you tell me the answer?
10.
All right. Does everybody agree that it's 10?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Spook, Gigi, you want to share your strategy?
I did that 9 plus 1 equals 1.
Okay. Is that the strategy everybody had?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That one is. All right. Here, look at this one. Here we go. I
I know, we're having three, aren't we? All right, just think about it. It is, but you know what I think? Just do the best you can. Good. Good for you. Okay, let me know when you know.
Do you know?
Reagan? What's the answer?
12.
Okay, tell me how you got 12.
I put the one over by the...
Did you do that? And what does that mean? 9 plus 1 is what? Are you changing your answer? That's okay. That's smart thinking. What do you want to make it now?
15.
See? Love it. Always thinking. All right, so tell me again what you did. You solved your, you fixed your own problem, didn't you? How'd you do it? What'd you do?
I put the one over here.
You moved the one over here. So you made 1 plus 9. What was that?
10.
Okay, and then what'd you do after that?
I made that 10 plus 3 is a 13
because it's a teen. All right. Does everyone agree it's 13? Did anybody do something different? What did you do?
Well, I counted up three from nine, and then.
And what did you get when you counted up three from
and
nine?
And then I counted up one more.
Okay, can you tell me what you got when you added the nine and the three?
It's 13.
Well, just this part. This part, the nine and the three. Okay, and then what'd you do with the 12?
I counted up one more.
And that equals 13.
I
know, I'm sorry. Okay, a little nervous. So my mother's not quite as neat. All right. Anybody do anything different, or does that? All right, here is the last one. Oh, my goodness. Are you guys ready? Here we go. Stuck with it, didn't you, Reagan? And I really appreciate that. Okay, Reagan, you want to tell us what you got?
15.
And you stuck with it. That was so good. Reagan, you want to tell me what you did to get 15, honey?
I knew that 9 plus 1 equals 10.
Okay.
And I counted
up 5 and you got 15. Good. All right, anybody do anything different? Did you go ahead?
Well, I know that 9 plus 1 is 10. So I just said 10, and I knew that. And I knew that you teach us that a long time ago that 10 and some more is a teen, so it's 15.
10 and some more is a teen. That's right. Just like up here, 10 and some more is a teen. 10 and 3 is 13. Excellent. Jane, did you have another one? Okay, what were you going to say?
I knew that much, but that looks like a 15 if you put that together.
Oh, when I put this with this, it looks like 15? Is that what you mean? Okay, terrific. Okay, all right, boys and girls, give yourself a pat on the back. You did awesome. Now we're going to see you. If they have any questions for us. You want to look at them in case they have any questions?
I want to know, did you all like working with numbers before this? And do you like working with them more this way?
Yeah.
Is it more fun? Does it make more sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Josie, what are you going to say? Why do you think it's more fun? Do you like hearing other people's strategies?
Uh-huh, so like then I get a new idea.
Oh, okay.
So not only makes it fun, but it makes it more challenging, right? And you probably
learned.
And your brain does what? Your brain keeps on
thinking.
Yes, yeah. It probably.
And on the 9 + 3 + 1, when I heard that somebody else had that they knew 9 + 1 is 10 and 3 more is 13, I did it my way, and then I got, when you did that equation, I got it from them.
Yeah. So the first time you counted on and add 1, and then you thought, wow, making a 10 is kind of fast. Yeah. Yeah, we talked. Yeah, so that might be, that might end up being more efficient for you, right? Yes, Daniel, what were you going to say?
I like them better because they're fun, and they just help me learn better.
Is this the first year you've done?
I took the course starting last November, so of course I jumped in with both feet.
Sure.
But I learned as I went, and this year I started from the very, you can start back where they learn to subitize, because they need to be able to subitize to be able to count on. So when I started the year, we did some subitizing, and then we went to count on and count all, and then you do doubles and near doubles, and then they don't know it, but we're working on making tens. I don't say, because for some of them they might use doubles, and that's okay. Now, during my math instruction, when I'm teaching the strategies, making 10, I talk about making 10. But in number talks, it's more open because, you know, we all saw things the way that we're going to. And what I have found is not only in the Common Core, there are 12 different types of word problems they need to be able to work through. And I'll be honest with you, if you had asked me last May, I don't know if I could have told you 12 different kinds of stories. Now I know them. And they will incorporate these strategies to help them with those word problems also, and they're not afraid of word problems.
So do you find that compared to then years previous, your first graders, that these kids are a little bit farther along?
You know,
or are they
what?
Just
really
different
hard
thinkers?
It's because everyone's different, but I feel like everybody is starting to understand the strategies and feeling flexible, and I really think the powerful thing is they learn from each other. And another thing, when Reagan went, did you know she wasn't even the least bit shy about when she changed her answer? It was like it dawned on her then. And that's the perfect, we talk about how our misconceptions teach us the best lessons in life. So I really think it's powerful for that. And they can learn, I can talk all day long, which I do, but they learn a lot from each other, and that's more powerful.
Fourth grade, I mean, how long can you use this up to, like, third, fourth?
Actually, it goes through fifth grade, and I actually have teachers taking it through fifth grade, which was very nerve-wracking for me, as you guys have heard my math background. But I talked about how it's a book discussion, and we're discovering together as they do the number talks.
And is this the first part of every day? Or
every math day.
Every math day.
We start our math lesson with a number talk. And typically, I would only have done either the Rick-Hendricks or the 10 frames or these. I don't do all of them. So right. It can take 5 to 10 minutes. And then I go into my lesson.
That's amazing, I tell you. That's
okay.
Thank you very much.
There's articles in the kids. What do you think? Bring me outside for your kids, okay? Can you tell them thank you?
Thank you.
Let's walk back.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? That's kind of stuff that just, that's incredible.
We'll start the parent talk in 5 minutes.
The equations get a little harder.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
I'm not speaking.
All right, if you want an agenda here, okay.
That was awesome.
Somebody else warm was it?
Thank you, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Warm for
me. Something. I wore a sweater because it's always freezing cold in this room. And because I look dapper in it. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah. Dapper day and color coordinating.
We can do that. We make that an agenda item for next meeting, right? Just closing comments for next meeting. We're going to go with.
I refuse. Yeah.
Okay. Next up on my agenda, the district financial review by Cindy and Bill.
I'll start by passing this out.
This looks very familiar.
It should. I'll go through it very quickly with you. The only thing I want you to do on these first couple of pages, because it's familiar, this is these are the 5-year forecasts that you've looked at before. And I wanted to just have you, on the first one, just put a note at the top. It's October. That's your October 1, 2011. And that was the one that had a balance in 2013 of $363,000. And then the second page you've also seen, and that's the page that shows you some of the changes from the October financial forecast to the one that you saw in January. And the back page of this three-page set is the January one. And I wanted to just move you to that. Now, if there's anybody that in the audience that hasn't looked carefully at a 5-year forecast, I'll real quickly just run through that, and maybe even for the new board members, I don't know how familiar you are with this, but the school district is required to have a 5-year forecast in place continuously, and every October it has to be updated, and then it's posted on ODE's website. You can find the 5-year financial forecast for any school district in the state just by going to ODE's website. And if you have significant changes in the figures for either revenue or expenditures, you have to make adjustments and revisions. Cindy made a revision in January because there were some changes. They weren't significant enough that we had to report them yet, so they'll probably be reported when it's revised again in May. But what I point out to people when I'm going through this with staff, and if it's staff that hasn't looked at this before, is that you just look at the 8 columns of numbers. The 3 columns to the right are the actual figures. And so those are for fiscal years 9, 10, and 11, and those are all the actual real numbers. Everything to the right, the 5 to the right, that's the forecast, including the current fiscal year that we're in. We're in year 2012. So that's the current year we're in. That's probably the one year that the treasurer will say, yep, we're really certain that's going to come out that way. Everything beyond that is all based on assumptions. And typically when you do the 5-year forecast, there can be as many as 10, 12 pages of assumptions where the treasurer gives the detail of what these projections are based on, because she's trying to project both revenue as well as expenditures 5 years out, and that becomes difficult to do. And so she lists a number of assumptions so that anybody that reads it can go into the back pages and can see, well, this is why they were guessing that revenue was going to go down 3 years from now, because of this assumption. It tells why that's the case. So what I want to point out to you besides all of that is just if you look at line 2.080 or 60, that's your total revenues. So you can see that in 2012, that's this year, we expect to take in $46,730,000 in revenues. Then if you go down to line 5.050, that shows you the total expenditures. During 2012, we expect to spend $47,884,000. And if you look at the line 6.010, just below that, that's the line that you read across if you want to see when does the district actually begin to go into deficit spending. Deficit spending would be defined as that year when we spend more during that fiscal year than we are actually bringing in during that fiscal year. And you can see that our revenue for 2012 is $46,730,000, but our expenditures are $47,884,000. The only reason we're able to do that, which is we're spending almost $1 million more than we're taking in this year, the only reason we're able to do that is because of the balance that's being carried down at the bottom. You can see our current unreserved balance when we entered this fiscal year was $4,237,000. When we end this fiscal year, it'll be $3,084,000. So we're slowly eating into the pot that we have. Normally, when a levy is passed in a school system, right away the revenue spikes and it goes up. It typically goes up above the line of expenditures because you're going to be locked into that amount, and the district then is locked into that amount for the life of the levy. Well, usually what happens is the revenue stays flat, and slowly with increased costs, the cost bypasses the revenue, and you usually run into a point where you move into deficit spending and you're working off of whatever balance you have left. But just glancing at a five-year forecast, you can quickly see when a district is going to be in serious financial need. Like in ours, if you go across that bottom line, 15.010, you see right away we go into negative numbers in the year 2014. That means that we're not just deficit spending anymore. That means we can't pay all our bills at that point. So you can guess the school district is going to have to, before then, either do some cuts or they're going to have to generate new funds. And the way you do that in Ohio is you seek and pass school operating levies. Okay? The one other thing I wanted to point out to you is if you look at line 10010 and the lines, the lines that start with 11.010, those 11 lines, you see there's income or there's money listed there for 2014, 2015, 2016. Those are renewals of levies. We have on our books 3 5-year levies that run out. Two of them run out at the end of fiscal year 13. One of them runs out at the end of fiscal year 14. And we're going to look at those in just a minute. But that's all I wanted you to look at on those three. And I tried to do that quickly because I know you guys have already seen that. This set now is a set that's got a title on it, it's just a look again at a five-year projection, but it's got the title of Option 4. And you'll remember that the treasurer gave you some various options when looking at it. The one thing that I didn't mention about the October projection and the January projection is that when we had a buyout in our district a year ago, and people left last year and now are going to leave this year, we have about 11 to 13, I think it is, people that are going to leave this year. And this projection that was marked January of 2012 that showed a $1,265,000 balance at the end of 2013, that was did not include replacing any of those people that took the buyout. And so that meant that we will either lose 13 staff members after this school year, or we'll have to replace some of them. And very realistically, I've suggested, and Cindy and I have talked it over a lot, we think it just isn't realistic to keep saying that we're not going to replace those people. Frankly, one of them is the principal. A number of them are teachers in major subject areas of our district. And I don't know how we could possibly not replace them. So I'm suggesting that we look at, for being a little bit more realistic projection, that you look at that option 4, because that option 4 says we think we'd replace all 13 of those people, but we'd replace them with cheaper people because they'd be people with bachelor's degree and only 3 years of experience. So they'd be experienced teachers, but they'd be younger teachers in most cases. Now, it may turn out that we don't need to replace all 13, but we think it's more realistic to project that, if we needed to, we would replace all 13. And you'll notice the real difference that happens is in the the balance that is in place at the end of fiscal year 2012, it goes up about $330,000, and it's a $3 million balance. And then, but in 2013, it's a $665,000 balance instead of that $1,265,000. And that's the difference that will be made if we actually replace all those people at a less expensive rate.
What process are you going through to figure out how many of those people you're going to replace?
We're talking, I've begun just talking to the building principals to begin with.
Right.
I'm talking to them, and I'm talking to them about what happens if, and going through each one of them, what happens if this one isn't replaced? How will you deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell me what, you know, what exactly they'll do about it and what it will mean to our program. And I keep asking them about what it means to the quality of the educational program that we're offering our kids, because that of course is the bottom line. But I'm just entering into those conversations.
Sure.
I've had them with one of the primary ones. But there isn't anything else I wanted to point out to you on this set, except that back page is again the information about the changes that were made. I'm trying to go through this a little bit faster than we've been doing it. The next sheet, though, is something that you may not, this one I don't think they have seen much of, have they? This one is a listing of the federal grants that we receive, monies that we receive from federal dollars that supplement our operating budgets. And it's pretty strong amounts of money. If you look at fiscal year 2012, you can see that through these various federal grants, and you've got the names there, Title I, Title IIA, Ed Jobs, IDEA, some of these are special ed ones. These are, you can see it's over $2 million that we're receiving in money, federal money, for our school system for 2012. Before that, in 2010 and in 2011, we received the stimulus funds that you see listed there. And that was about $522,000 in 2010, and it was about $722,000 in 2011. The stimulus funds ended at the end of fiscal year 2011. They were partially replaced by the Ed Jobs funds of $817,000 in 2012. But the Ed Jobs funds end at the end of fiscal year 2012, the end of this year. If you look at the chart up above, we've shown you up above, in 2010, we financed paid for 13 teachers and two administrators out of the federal funds, plus $3.35 million reading specialist teachers, and we had two class reduction teachers. So we funded a lot of teachers through these federal kinds of grants and monies. In 11, it was 15 teachers and two administrators. But what I wanted to point out to you is fiscal year 12, we're now financing 21 of our special education teachers are being paid for through these funds. And two of our administrators are being paid for through these funds. Some of these funds, the Ed Jobs funds, the $817,000, they disappear in fiscal year 2013. That means next year we either need to bring back 10 of those teachers and put them back into our operating budget, which is in our projection, or we need to cut 10 of those teachers and two of those administrators from our staff. Again, that's not going to be realistic.
Ed Jobs is included in your forecast.
Yeah, I know, but
so those dollars are already in the forecast.
They're already in the forecast.
So we'll just see the revenue side go down when that goes away.
Yes.
But shouldn't your personnel services, those numbers won't change, will they?
No, they will not. Because
just
they're already
your revenue
in
side.
There. Okay.
Already
all right,
that's
what I was going
to ask. Cindy already put in the 10
for
2013.
So, when you were looking at that, the cost is in there.
Now, if something would happen and we only needed to replace nine of them, you know, that'd be
a bonus.
Or
maybe some new federal.
But the money's already been moved into
this. I don't think so. It's okay.
that's all I wanted to show you on that. And then this last one. This one is just a levy history. I don't know how often you look at this. We just updated it. But I wanted to point out a couple things to you. On the first page, if you just do a quick overview of it, I was looking at the first page for do we typically pass when we have bigger numbers that come out to vote. A lot of districts, they say that when they get the most people out, most voters out, they get the most positive vote from their people. I thought maybe that was true for us. I started to think it was as I went down the list until I got down toward the bottom, and when we had 7,400, we lost both of those. So I don't know if that's a pattern for us or not. But if you look at the second page, there is a definite, and on mine, I highlighted mine with yellow, so that's what the first page looked like. That means those were the yes votes, the yellow ones. On the second page, there's a lot more of them. So you can see the past number of years since 1993, we've been getting stronger and stronger as far as the community's support for the schools and doing it, you know, first time out. Now, we had a group right in 2007 where we had three no's right in a row. But what I want to point out to you are the bottom three. Those are the district's 5-year replacement levies. And those are, the first one's 5 mils, the second one's 4 mils. And they were passed in 2008. They were for 5 years. That means that we'll collect money for them through 2013. We'll have to be back on the ballot to get those either renewed or something to be able to continue to collect that same amount of money in 2014. And then the same is true for the 6.56 mil. That's a 5-year.
So just so we're clear, because we've had conversations before, we don't have to go on the ballot this year for those renewals.
No.
We had some confusion about all that because
right.
we had some figures that showed they ended in 2012. We had some figures that showed they ended in 2013. And when I asked Cindy about them, she said she had taken the 2012 number was really from a past. Some past figures from, frankly, some older work. Well, she thought, of course, to double-check it with the auditors, and when she double-checked it with the auditors, the 5 mil and the 4 mil run through 13, we'll collect through 13, and then the 6.56 runs through 14. So, yeah, that was great news because it means there's no pressing need. In fact, we couldn't even go on the ballot for those before November of 2012.
Right.
But you probably want to wait and do that in 13, I would imagine. I don't know. We'll have to see. That's part of the second phase of this report to you.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was clear, yeah, because we'd had discussions up until now that those renewals were due.
Yeah, we've been trying to point that out because we knew we were, especially you, were under a different impression, I think. At least some.
Yeah.
The last page gives you a good look at these, though. The last page of this, you can see the 5 mils at the top, and the 4 mil over to the right at the top. The 5 mil levy is bringing in, you'll see what it's bringing in under renewal, $3,435,000. That's what that brings in every year to the school system. The 4 mil levy brings in $2,700,000. Now, underneath that, you see the replacement. If we renew it, that means we just renew it. Remember, the 5 mil levy passed originally back in August of 2003, and the 4 mil passed back in November of 2008, the first time it passed. That was the first time that one passed. So if you renew them, you just renew them at the old valuation, and they will continue to bring in the exact same amount of money that's listed under renewal. If you replace them, and you keep them at 5 mils and at 4 mils, you'll replace them at the new valuation, and it will cost residents more money if you do that, but the schools will receive $40,000 more in the for the 5 mil levy, and they'll receive 32,000 more for the 4 mil levy. But again, you'd have to then be saying to community, we're actually raising your taxes if we replace this. If you renew it, you can honestly say to the community, this is no increase in taxes. It's a continuation of what you've been paying.
Seems like $40,000 is a minimal amount to have to make that argument.
Right. But look at the 6.56 mil levy. This mill takes in right now renewal $2,618,000. But this was originally passed, the 6.57 mil, or 5.6 mil, that was originally passed on the front sheets back in November of 1989. So that's operating on that assessment and that valuation. Now, if you brought that one, so if you renew that, it'll continue to collect $2,618,000. But if you replace that one, it jumps to, you know, $4,560,000. Almost, what'd you figure, three mils?
Three and a half.
Wow. So if you did replace that, and you told the community we're replacing a 6.56 mil levy, you'd have to honestly say to the community, that's like voting three extra mils for this. And then it will stay that way. And then if you renewed it again the next time, it'd stay right at that level. Mm-hmm. So. So right now, we think if you look at our financial projection, there isn't any question that the district will have to replace or renew these three levies because I don't think you can just do without that money in your coming years. But even if you replace them, and that's why we pointed it out in the five-year projection that you were looking at, we've put it in there that you did replace them. Even if you replace them, the district in 2014 can't pay what we project is going to be the expenditure.
Replaced in there or renewed?
Renewed. I meant renew. I'm sorry, Doug. I meant renew.
Yeah, renewed.
Because I know you hadn't ever talked really about replacing them. But you may need to give that some thought when we start talking about what can we do about our finances.
When are we going to talk about that?
The second part is, or she's got the rest of the picture first.
This one other point that I think you made to the finance committee, I don't think it was mentioned, was that those renewals, those levies, aren't they tied to some RTPP?
RTPP is tied to the two levies, the one that was passed in 2003 and the one that was passed in 1989.
And the 6.56.
The 6.56. Right. The new one in 2008 would not have any extra TPP added to it.
My clarification. So hypothetically, if we were to try to replace that old one and it were to fail, and then we would lose those TPP dollars.
We would lose those.
But if we came back and tried to if we did it early enough and
right,
you know, and then tried
you,
to
you have you've got that full year.
Okay,
too.
So you don't lose it the first time it fails. You
no.
lose it if you just don't.
If it is not revoted or renewed or anything. During that year, so as of December 31st of 2013,
right. Okay.
If it's not back on the books by then we would lose that money also from the state.
And how much is that again?
Roughly, I don't.
Okay.
I can't tell you exactly how much.
Together.
Yeah,
okay.
It's all blended together.
Okay.
I'd have to look it up. I was going to do that.
But we don't lose the TPP if it's replaced.
No.
Okay. No.
Glad you remembered.
Yeah, we would still get, we would, I don't believe we would get any additional because we're replacing it, but we would get the same. At least the same.
And the rest of the picture is the hardest part.
Before we jump ahead, right?
I didn't make copies of the bond schedule for everybody, but there are any extra ones or anything, but I thought you guys would.
Because it'll make you go cross-eyed.
Yeah,
it
makes you go cross-eyed, exactly.
Yeah.
talking after the finance committee the other night, they said, I'm still confused about what bonds are. So I thought, okay, an easy way to understand what a bond is. A bond is like our mortgage. It's basically our mortgage payments. We borrow, we approved, the district approved levies to build buildings and the infrastructure of the buildings. And now we're paying them back as our bonds. So bond payment is the same as buying a house and you're paying your mortgage. You're going to pay the principal and you're going to pay the interest over however many years you decide to put that mortgage out. Bonds are usually for, and all of these are 20, I'm pretty sure these are all 20, 23 years. In the last few years in the state, they're allowing people to do 28 to 30 year bonds. Prior to that, they were only 23 to 24 year bonds.
And they're loaded. I mean, didn't John
or John Adams, yeah,
came in and said they loaded those differently so that the amount would be consistent across all
those
29 years.
Exactly, because at the time when they were voted in, we were in the growth mode, and so was the economy, and we also had the tangible personal property tax that we no longer have. So that's why they were loaded. But just a couple things I want to talk about on that. Bond revenue, and when we're looking at that and everything, our bonds right now are over $8 million a year that we're paying out. And the schedule shows that. If you look at that, we make our bond payments twice a year. We make them in December. We make them in June. December, we pay interest and principal. June, we only pay the interest. So when we're looking at how much we need to have in our bond retirement fund, we need to make sure that we've got enough at the end of June, whatever the balance is there, plus what were taxes that we've received before December 1st, so that we make that payment. Right now, our bond retirement fund is $3 million in the deficit. In other words, I'm using funds from other areas in the district, basically general fund, because we do have a balance there to pay that. You know, we paid those bonds out, but we're holding that money so that we can keep it and we don't have to transfer and do all that kind of thing. So, in other words, I'm just sort of right now paying Peter with Paul's money so that we've got it. But we've got the money, but it just shows a negative. So when you look on the financial statements every month and see that bond retirement fund, you see that negative money, but that's why. That's how we were able to do it. So with that, give you a little better explanation of that. Then I know how much you enjoy graphs and all pictures.
I'm a picture guy. I can't help.
They're much easier to look at. If you look at the bond retirement on the graph number one, you'll look at our revenue is right around $6 million a year, and then our expenditures are at that $8 million. So that difference is what's below and the revenue surplus or deficit. So that's last fall when we were talking about the bonds. That's what we were talking about, that deficit. We raised it. Now we're collecting 6.2 mils, but we're still going to be in the deficit.
Does this chart reflect that increase?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Yes, it does. The second graph, we also receive money from TIFs. We'll talk a little bit more about that later also, but the tax increment financing of the areas in town, we have the commercial industrial areas that were TIF with the city, and then we've got several residential areas, Mill Valley North, the Hickory, looking at commercial as far as Coleman's Crossings and City Gate. Those are our areas that are TIF money. We're still paying our taxes the same as if nobody that lives out in those areas even knows any different. It goes to the auditor. I pay my taxes every time, and then it gives the auditor sets it up, takes it out of that money, and sends it to the city. The city then sends our portion to us. So that was set up as part of our COPS payments for the area, January of 2005. January of 2005, because of the growth in the district, because of having that extra tax increment financing, we were going to go and have debt to help build Bunsold and the high school and some of the others.
Northwood.
And Northwood, exactly. Northwood, those three buildings, additional at high school. We're going to pay out of the TIF. Then in June of 2005, along comes all the tax changes with the state. Takes away that opportunity of the growth of the personal property tax of the TPP and of the TIF areas. So that's when they went through and did the changes, and in August approved that bonds. So that's now everything's into the bonds. So because of that, so that's why we're still keeping the TIF money going in as the payment of the bonds. So.
And you flatlined that TIF, but in actuality, that could very well grow.
That could very well grow. At this time, until we see some growth of it, I couldn't see doing any extra growth right now.
No, I just wanted to point that out to those who didn't sit through those work sessions last year.
Yes, I have. I did do that. So, forecast.
It's all coming back.
You can listen to it again.
So now we're to the forecast, our bond actual forecast. If you look at the bond retirement fund, if you look at that forecast, it looks a lot different than what you'd think it does. Our actuals in fiscal year 8, 9, and 10, prior to my arrival and my way of thinking as a treasurer, the bonds were paid out of, instead of transferring money to the bond account, which is what the state says you're supposed to, they were paid as permanent improvements. You can do it that way. Nobody says one way is better than the other, but it does say in the state law you're supposed to transfer. So I transfer the money in. So it looks like we only had $5.6 million in fiscal year 8 to make our payment. Or receipt in, we receipted in $5.6 million in fiscal year 8, and we only paid out $6.8 million. Well, we had a carryover balance, a beginning balance, the same thing. Beginning balance, if we've got a beginning balance, we don't need to collect as much, so that made the difference. We had a revenue shortfall in that first year of $1.1 million. And then in the next 2 years, just by doing those, together, you're still over another $1 million. So right there's $2 million in revenue shortfall that we had in the first 3 years of the forecast. Actual in last year, after starting looking at the transfers in, we were still about $500,000 short, because I only transferred in as much as we needed to, so that we had it. We ended up with $67,000 this year. I'm going to be transferring in $1 million from the TIF, because we do have some balance there, and then from PI, probably $1.5 million. I'm saying $1.5 million right now, because I thought about it prior to the increase in that $1 million, so I haven't changed anything on here. So, and you know, that extra mill brings in about $695,000. We'll get half of it this first half, so about another $300,000. Then if you look at permanent improvement money, and the reason we wanted to look at all of our funds together, along with the general fund, the grants, the bonds, the permanent improvement, it all makes the picture for the whole district, the whole financing of the district. There's other funds out there. Yes, they're important, but not like these categories are. If you look at the forecast here in fiscal year 12, you'll see that our hold harmless payments have went down from last year of $1,016,000 to $768,000. We lost 25% of what we were receiving in tangible personal property tax replacement. Next year, it's another 25%. The following year, I've got it flatlined. The budget last year, we were worried about it in May and June, if you remember, three of you do, that we were thinking that we were going to lose all of that. So we would be losing $1 million out of permanent improvement funds that we were to be paying for equipment, textbooks, repairing our buildings. By doing that, we would have been losing over $1 million in 4 years.
Well,
each year it was 25%. It was going to be 25%. So
be
now
more
that
than that in actual cash.
Yeah, in actual cash it would have been more. But now it's flatlined because they're saying we're going to leave it alone for a while. So we'll see what happens. We've got another budget in another year, so.
And that's always exciting.
It is. I love budget years. You never know what's going to happen to you. So, but this forecast, if you look at it, what we've got in here as far as expenditures, we've only got the minimal expenditures, purchase services. That's mainly our copier leases. I mean, we need copies for the students to make the and everything. Copier leases. Some minor other repair things, supplies, mainly maintenance supplies to repair the buildings, the equipment, a couple buses maybe, or some technology, not very much, and then our auditor and treasurer's fees. We always have to have auditor and treasurer's fees. So we're looking at, if I do the forecast, if we transfer out this year the $1.5 million, that leaves us $2.4 million. But if you look at it, the years going by, if we don't do any other transfers with minor things, we will have a balance. But if we keep transferring out that $1 million, just put that $1 million in and you can see what it does to that. By the end of fiscal year 16, it would be $200,000 as our balance. And we don't have enough money to do the things that we need to do in the buildings. Last fall we talked about there's about $3 million in that wish list between maintenance and different things that needed to be done over the next five years. So this whole plan feeds into the general fund plan also.
Go ahead.
And so that one is very important. We need to get a plan together on what we need to do over the next 5 years.
I was just going to make the point that you have to remember that the district passed, the community passed, a 5 mil permanent improvement levy back in 1998. And I'm sure it was sold to take care of repairs, take care of equipment, various things. And so in the past number of years, we've been transferring anywhere from $1.5 million to $2 million. Out of that fund to pay for the bond issue. And while we haven't detailed yet exactly where it happened that all of a sudden we were collecting less than we should have been, I'm guessing, as I just glance at the things, that if you look on that sheet that I gave you on bond issues, the second page of it, you got a bond issue, a no new millage bond issue in 1998, and another one in 2000. Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't had time. I haven't been able to yet talk at length with Larry about it, and we're trying to find out for sure. But I'm guessing that usually people that did no new millage bond issues, they were bond issues, and you always have to say how many mils it is. You have to always put on the ballot 2 mils or 3 mils or whatever. But when people advertise it as no new millage, they say, even though it says 2 mils, we won't collect the 2 mils because we've got enough out of our regular payments from our other bonds. We have enough income coming in that we can pay that. And so they make the promise, even though it says 2 mils, we won't collect 2 mils. I'm guessing that's where you started to not be collecting, frankly, what you needed. What a lot of places did that make no new millage bond issue with their community, what a lot of places do is they put an asterisk or they give themselves an out and say, unless circumstances, dramatically change from what we're forecasting now. I don't know whether we did that or not. We're trying to find that out. But I'm guessing that's where it started, that all of a sudden, we're in a condition now where we're collecting 6.1, I think it is.
6.2.
And we could be collecting, the community has approved 9 point, what?
4.6 or something in that nine mil.
So the community has approved this millage, but I'm guessing that they approved it under the sort of the promises we're not going to collect it. That's what I'm guessing.
2005 was another one. It wasn't a no new millage, but there was, I think at that time it was.
I think that's the one we're not collecting full millage on.
Well,
the earlier ones are definitely
that one
not.
Collected.
So we're not collecting at all on those?
We're collecting some, but not as much as what
so
it should
would
be.
Have been.
I don't know if it was a promise, like you said, but I know that that's what it was advertised as, was I think 1.5 mils and it was a 5.2 mil. Because they needed to pass that to take advantage of the
hold
harmless and convert to COPs.
I thought that it was at that time we started transferring money out of our PI to start paying our bonds. I didn't think we were doing that before that, but
so it happened right there.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, that's what I remember from our conversations. That at that point, before that, we weren't transferring any money over to pay our bonds.
Did we even have PI back then? How long have we had the PI?
It's like 2003 was approved as a continuing levy.
Why wasn't this listed then as a no new millage?
The what, 2005?
Oh, because it was like a 1?
Yeah, it was like a 1.5,
So it was the 5.2 was what was on it, probably.
Right. Yeah. But they weren't collecting.
But it was only going to collect 1.something.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And that was
We should make that change in this historical.
Yeah, but it was. That's what is on the ballot.
Well, but there was a millage rate on these no new millage ballots, too. But they're not on the sheet. I don't know what.
Yeah, I'm just going back to the conversations we had in the fall where we actually talked about that's when we actually started transferring money to pay our bonds from other funds was when we passed that.
At least that was our understanding. I think it's worth having that conversation.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We're just not sure. That's what I'm saying. We're not sure when it all began. But but I think it's a result of those no new millage things.
And it's also the result of
either all or one of them or something.
Sure.
The millage rates of the older bonds, if you look at how they were structured and everything, with the TPP and the values at that point were growing, and they weren't anymore once everything hit.
That's true.
And I think that's part of the whole thing. And thinking back on even that 2005, if they had looked at what was going to happen with the millage or with the valuations, I don't think they thought about how that was going to affect the collection of that as much. Mm-hmm. So I think the loss of the TPP valuations really is what started this whole escalation of we need more money in there.
All we were trying to do tonight was give you a general overall picture of the finances of the district, and it seems like as far as what we do to solve it and making a plan for how do we in the next 2 to 5 years sort of resolve some of this financial mix that we have in front of us, I think that's really the second step. That's the next thing we should take. But you can definitely take away from the look at the finances that I don't think there's any question that the district is going to need to at least renew those 3.5 mil operating levies, 5.4 and 6.57 mil operating levies within the next couple of years in 13 and 14. And even by doing that, you won't have enough operating funds. You're either going to have to make some additional dramatic cuts that are, I would guess, and I'm new, so I don't know positively, but I would guess will dramatically negatively affect the quality of the educational system of this district. Or you're going to have to seek new money. You're going to have to ask for additional millage for operating. Then on top of that, you've got a bond issue situation where you're literally paying a big chunk of your PI money, and you're putting off repairs that need to be done in the district buildings and things because you're using that money to pay for bonds. And so you're going to probably also have to start talking about should we be collecting another mill now and then on those bonds and maybe lay out a plan for ourselves. How are we going to do that? And that's what we don't have any magic for it right now. We will have, but no. but we were going to just go back from here and just try to start thinking about, okay, what do we do? But we thought it was important to have you at least see the facts of where we are, and then we can start regularly discussing what do we do about it.
I think it's real helpful to get a complete picture.
Yeah, I mean, you really have it all sitting up front of you.
And in the packet is the TIF forecast, too, so you can see how much we've received over the years and what I look at thinking. And I've got a little bit of extra in there as far as the balance, and I think we probably will probably just take it all to the bond so I don't have to take as much to the BI.
You want to make any comments about the finance committee?
Yes, I mean they received the same report, so you know they're going to be working on this, and they'll hear some of your ideas. I think at our next meeting is the plan.
I think they're charged with really understanding the details of this,
right,
so that they can weigh in on
kind of be the liaison with the community as well, so that you know more people that understand it and can explain it to other people than.
So then are you going to move those options up to the board then? I mean, just so I understand how that's going to work.
Oh, yeah, we would come.
I assume you guys are going to hammer it out and then we'll bring it up.
The finance committee is
we just want
like
some input from
absolutely.
Them on ideas they might have, too,
sure.
And right. Ideas we'll take to them.
We'd love to hear those.
We'll go through all that and then try to do some of that beginning ground homework mm-hmm. for you and then bring back to the board to begin the real discussion about. You're the only ones that can have the authority to vote to do something about all of it.
And I think one of the things we've talked about as being important, and I think it was kind of echoed at the Finance Committee, is communication. So however we can get this out to the community so that they understand what the financial picture is, also understanding some of the cuts and reductions that have been made, or as we move forward and make other ones, that we're have a more efficient way of putting that out there. I don't know if that's through a website or if that's how we do that, but I think there was even some good ideas on how to represent this and boil it down into
more easily understood.
Yeah, like right. One person recommended a timeline for the levies, so
right.
You can actually see when you start talking about them, when you start to putting them on the ballot. And
sure.
All that kind of
difference
stuff.
Between fiscal years, because
yeah.
The tax year is different than the
fiscal year.
And
exactly.
All that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's always confusing.
And the other thing we talked about, which you kind of touched on, was just the including talk about the improvements that we've made. You
right.
know, you said something about the savings, but making sure that the community knows that the school district has been working hard.
Yeah, because we've actually done a lot, but I can
yeah.
if you walk up
a
to someone on the street,
know.
I don't think they could tell you
yeah.
the majority of the things this district has
right.
done.
And there were people on the committee who wanted to see us looking at other options cutting,
right.
too, before we start talking about new money. So I think
mm-hmm.
those are the types of things that I think we need to...
A combination of...
Yeah, communicate.
Yeah.
Look at and communicate out that we're doing it. So.
Well, it might be helpful, too, to see, okay, what has already been reduced. You know,
right.
to show that,
right.
you
sure.
know.
Yeah.
We're trying to compile that. We've got a lot of it compiled from some older reports that the board received on different cost-cutting things that we've done as a school district. The most recent, of course, were the I think the very significant givebacks by the Teachers Association,
yeah.
Both in salaries and in benefits. And we need to just get numbers on all of that and be able to show how that's been, particularly since the last time we renewed or had these 5-year levies
mm-hmm.
for operating, because it'd be good to be able to show the community what we've done the past few years. As a new set of eyes looking at the district, it's already my impression that we've done a nice job of being really tightening things up and tightening our belts and operating more efficiently. But I'm afraid that you're getting to a point where it's going to be really important for the community to decide, do we want to continue to make cuts in the programming of our district, or do we want to step up and raise more money with tax? I think it may come down to that, but I don't know for certain, but
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that from what I've seen so far.
So when you talk about putting together a plan, how long term would you typically put together a plan? So would it be like a 2-5 year, 10 year plan?
You see, typically, I don't think you'd be in this situation where you're borrowing to pay your bonds. Usually, most places are seeing to it that the bonds are taken care of, and we vote for that. The community votes for that, and we pay those off. And if anything, they begin collecting even less later on because it starts to drop as the interest is dropping with it too. So I don't know if this is necessarily typical. At least not from my experience, it's not typical. But I would think that this situation calls for. I don't think this is something we're going to be able to solve in a year or two. Mm-hmm. I think there are going to be steps to solving this. So I would guess you're going to end up with a plan, a financial plan that'll be anywhere from 2-4 year plan or something, that maybe even 5, that we're going to slowly work our way through this, work our way out of this. Because you got two things going. You got the operating that's got to be taken care of, and that's the day-to-day everything. But we really got to look seriously at the bonds, because that's almost foolish to be doing it the way we're doing it, I think.
Okay. Thank you both very much for kind of putting that all in one place for us. I think that's a good stake in the ground for us to navigate forward from. Are there any other comments or questions about that?
All right. Good. Thank you.
Yes. And thank you ahead of time for all the work you're going to put into this. All right, next up is the Ohio High Point Report.
I'm not used to this late in a meeting coming up. I'm waiting for the roll call for adjourn.
Well, we're a long way from that.
All right. Let's see. We had the meeting yesterday, so it shouldn't be too hard for me to remember what we talked about. Put on the list. Yesterday, High Point got awarded with took first place in a contest for recycling, and it was a statewide contest. And the guys from, I can't remember the solid waste organization that put it on, but they came in, gave us their award. They said we won by a bunch. I think he said head and shoulders above the rest, so that was my interpretation. Keep America Beautiful gave them a reward of $1,000, which was cool. Just to give you an idea how much they set up a recycling center there that collects, 2 tons of recyclable material every week.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
There's a reward program. I think they get like $10 for every ton. So I think they're,
Holy cow.
A student from the ag program gave a presentation. She actually worked on a grant, securing a grant for Ohio High Point and her homeschool Graham, local, I guess. And the grant was for educating kids on safety, driving safely. So she's going to use that grant money. She's putting together the whole plan and how it's getting spent. She's actually going to reach out to Marysville Ag students to kind of put on programs to kind of raise awareness of.
Is that just like regular driving safety?
Well,
or is it like tractor safety? I'm not trying to be,
right.
I mean, I don't know. She's an ag student.
She was referring to driving because, there's been some, a lot of accidents up there more recently. So she felt passionate about it. And so
good for her.
Ohio High Point's contracting to bring in a natural gas line. I mean, right now they operate their heating off of propane. So it's going to cost, I think, like $300,000 of investment to get that done. But it should save them, the payback on it's like 2.5 years. So I think their budget right now is $200,000 a year for heating through propane, and they're only budgeting $100,000 for next year. So school calendars, I know we approved it, so I just had a reminder that make sure that we sent it to them if we haven't already. So, Jeff Price, the superintendent, rolled out an improvement process to the staff. If anybody's interested, I'll send you the PowerPoint. But it sounds like they're breaking up into teams there, and this isn't just classified. I mean, certified, but certified and classified staff. And it's kind of focusing on having goals and figuring out how, you know, measuring the progress towards those goals and understanding why that you're making that progress. So they're doing the measurements up front and measurements on the throughout. And so
makes sense.
Sounds, yeah. Which, by the way, going back to that grant that Paige did, she's actually doing the same thing. She's doing a survey with the students on their driving habits up front, and then after these programs go through, can be surveying to see if there's an improvement there, awareness. Enrollment is kind of down at High Point. It's down, like, what do they say, is 20%.
Wow.
So, there was a call to all the board members to make sure that we're doing a good job of advocating for them, and that Marysville has always been on the low side in terms of percentages, and I remember Jim Fisher did an article on that, so it might be worth going back and looking at that and seeing if there's anything we can do to kind of encourage, because there's some great opportunities for kids out there. I know my daughter benefited from that kind of education.
Sure.
So I just think that make sure that we're doing everything we can here to kind of promote it for the right students. And that was about it.
Fantastic. Sounds like there's a lot of stuff going on up there. All right, 6.4, the legislative report.
Pieces of legislation that have been introduced since our last meeting. Our state rep, Dorothy Palanda, just introduced some legislation with respect to school districts withholding or transferring to another district or school of the grades and credits of a child who's alleged or adjudicated an abused, neglected, or dependent child. And basically that would require the school district to transfer it regardless of whether fees were paid or anything like that.
Hmm.
And that was just introduced on February 22nd. And this was pretty interesting. There was legislation introduced to authorize a pilot program for school districts in Montgomery County to operate certain for-profit activities.
Such as?
Well, I guess we'll see. They weren't specific.
I guess so.
But it'll be interesting to watch. That's House Bill 444. Huh. It'll be interesting to see what they end up doing with that.
They must have had something in mind when they put that language together.
You know, they did, but...
You don't have to look it up. I'm just...
I kind of got in my mind, and I didn't read the whole bill, but what I did read put me in the mind of maybe some sort of IT services consulting or actually performance. That's not what it said, but that is kind of what it put me in the mind of. That, you know, maybe that's what they were doing. But it's I don't know how many school districts are in Montgomery County, but it's for, you know, the entire county, any school districts in that county. And then there was open enrollment in the Senate to require a study of the inter-district open enrollment and to repeal sections of the revised code effective July 1st, 2015, to terminate inter-district open enrollment on that date with the possibility of renewal following the General Assembly's examination of the study's findings. And there's also legislation to create the Office of Regional Services and Accountability in the Department of Education. And Representative Gonzalez had introduced some legislation regarding school breakfasts, House Bill 255. They had a third hearing, all testimony, and this would require school districts and community schools to establish school breakfast programs in academic emergency buildings and to make other changes regarding school breakfast programs. And the testimony I read, Greg Stubbs from Marysville offered up testimony on this on February 8th. They seem to be trying to get to offer everybody breakfast in every school regardless. And this is funded by the federal government.
completely?
That's the goal. that appears to be all okay. The goal of the testimony.
I'm sorry. That sounds like all day, every day kindergarten. That's
well, until the money runs out.
It's out.
One school district. One. While this is all. So, I didn't see any testimony in opposition to this. Everybody who showed up, at least on this date, of the blurbs I read, were all for it and wanting to have the legislation changed. One of the school districts, I can't remember the exact number. I think it was about $900,000 they had made a profit in doing this, in being involved in this program.
In the breakfast program?
Yes. So I'm not sure what they were serving.
Bananas. I mean, by jumping on bananas for nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I that can't be right.
Really?
That's right. We want to know where we're going to stop it.
Is that four? Is that in Montgomery County by chance?
Perhaps it was. I, if anyone's interested, I can call and try to get a copy of that particular testimony. I only read a brief blurb. And on that bullying legislation, the Jessica Logan Act, the governor actually signed it on February 2nd. And so then it'll be effective 90 days from that. And a couple of things of interest. They have discovered that the BMI screenings are failing to gain popularity in year two. As many seek waivers. They don't have enough information to actually give any good data.
Imagine that.
I know, you'd find that hard to believe. And one thing that I thought was really interesting, you might not, but I thought it was interesting. They have changed part of the Ohio Revised Code with regard to agriculture and included farming of algae.
Huh.
And, you know, like algae, Univenture has Algae Venture, and they're doing that here in Marysville. So I thought that was pretty neat. Might not be following the farming or doing anything with algae. I've been following that for quite some time.
My tractor always gets stuck.
Pretty interesting. No, that doesn't have anything to do with that. And ODE is drafting the ESEA waiver to change districts' grades to a letter system as opposed to the excellent with distinction. So changing it from that to
letters. I saw something about that. They were changing a bunch of stuff with that, right?
They're going to try to. And then there was a blurb on February 10th. Stan Hefner is calling for an increase in access to advanced placement courses.
Going back to your last statement, the change to the letter was actually part of their waiver to the federal government, correct?
Requesting. And those are due, the deadline's February 28th.
And when will they know if Ohio got the waiver? Does anybody know?
I did not see that in the information. I don't know when they're supposed to report back, but those all have to be submitted by February 28th.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. At any rate, there was a report showing that Ohio is behind neighboring states in the number of students taking the rigorous exams, the AP exams. So, that was just mentioned. There was no plan that I saw. That's it.
All righty. Any questions on?
Is the fee for AP tests the same nationally, no matter where you live? Does everybody pay the same amount for them?
I believe so, but I don't know that for certain.
I don't know. I never took them.
Can you? You paid for some.
Yeah, I paid for some. At least someone in my family took them. It wasn't me. I'll tell you that. All right. Thank you for that in-depth report. Next up, public participation. Is there anybody that would like to address the board at this time? All right then. Next up, we're going to spend about 15 minutes talking about our operating protocols. Well, I really just want to, take some time, and if we don't get it finished tonight, we can do it again at our next meeting. But this is really something, again, as the board moves forward and growing our governance team, we need to have a set of operating protocols that not only we understand how that works, but when new members come in, when the new superintendent comes in, when people in our community want to know how we, operate and do our business, they should be able to look at a set of protocols and know that. So I sent you out my version. It was just a starting point. And so I thought, I figured we would just kind of, we could just walk through there, you know, take as many as you want, add, delete, modify them.
I have a couple of questions.
I know you do. And I did not capitalize everything I was supposed to, so I'll just put that out
okay.
there.
That's okay. I didn't expect you to do all the administrative kind of
things.
Thank
goodness.
One thing, in reading through this, it seems like we have two different things. Like, some seem to be like a code of conduct kind
almost,
of thing.
Right.
And then some seem to be kind of an agreement as to how the board and superintendent and treasurer will operate with each other.
Yeah, but really, I mean, when you look at those, you just want to be able to say, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to debate issues? How, if an issue comes to the board, do we handle it? So yeah, I think it may be a code of conduct, but it's also, you know, really, we shouldn't be sitting here calling each other names, I wouldn't think, unless they're nice names. So
good comment.
Wow.
It just seemed like there were two different things going on here, that's all. Like, you know, some were for, you know, specifically for the board and how they will conduct themselves.
Right.
And then some were how the board and executives would
interact. Yes.
But they were all mixed up willy-nilly.
Well, like I said, I just put them down on a list, and if you want to segregate them in two sides, I don't care how you segregate them.
I would like to segregate them.
Then, by all means.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had sent one out before that had more like
communications. Right.
And, you know, it had different sections that covered those areas. So, I mean, really.
I took it in and put it into one list just because we can separate it however you want. I mean,
board meetings.
Right.
Board meeting agenda development. Communication.
Right.
And really, you just kind of took some of them from here and put them on your list.
Sure. I pulled them from a lot of different places.
Yes.
A lot. And again, once we figure out what our protocols are, we can segregate them however, you know, I don't care how you want to put them in there. Right. I would just like to agree on the items on how we, yes, we agree that all this list of stuff is how we are going to operate.
Okay.
Okay?
I didn't have a problem with any of them in here. I mean, I thought they all.
Okay, well, I mean,
let's describe what. You
right,
know,
let's
how,
just walk.
How we should do things. So.
Go ahead, Doug.
So the purpose of this is just to kind of lay kind of a framework for how we operate.
Correct.
And these are the do's and don'ts of how we
yes.
operate at the board table.
Yes.
Okay. And all right. I think I.
Is that mm-hmm. was that your understanding?
Well, I guess when High Point that we went through the boardmanship thing presentation with mm-hmm. I think BESA, and we talked about protocols. I guess the protocols we're referring to there are some of the more difficult things to handle. So like, I think that there's some of them referenced in here. Like for instance, somebody comes to you
right.
with some information about a staff member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you handle it? And I think the examples they use there is you're in a restaurant, you're talking to somebody, they're putting down a teacher, you know, or putting down an administrator or something. How do you deal with that situation? Or, you know, I mean, there was more protocols for some of the, or for instance, if somebody on this board, you know, say, for instance, you guys weren't happy with something I did, what's the protocol for the board to address that situation?
Right.
That's kind of what I thought protocol was, but some of these things seem to be more in terms of, you know, actually getting into, you know, we can go through them and I'll bring up.
Actually, this came out of our training we actually had with Bill, and it came from the Red Book, and it really said, look, if you're going to be a highly effective board, you need to have a way that you have to lay
sure.
out how you're going to operate. And that's
right.
That's where we got. That's what
okay,
this is.
That's fine. I say we go through it and then we'll.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
How much time do we eat up already?
You referenced the Red Book.
We got 5 minutes. We ate up 5 minutes already. So all right. So the first one, the board will represent the needs and interests of all children in our district. That seems like, I put that one at the top. I figured that one seemed fairly straightforward. And again, if you guys, I don't know if you've had ones that you add in there anytime you want. The second one, obviously, is no surprises. Surprises to the board, treasurer, superintendent will be the exception, not the rule.
We agreed to ask the board president or the superintendent to place an item on the agenda instead of bringing it up unexpectedly at a meeting.
Yes? I'd like to do a little switch on that.
Absolutely.
I would like for the no surprises part to be deleted.
Sure.
And then start it out with we agree.
We agree. We agree surprises? Oh.
And then.
Oh, wait a second.
The we agree to ask.
Oh, you want that whole sentence?
No, I just want the two words, no surprises, deleted.
Oh. Okay.
And then to start number two with, we agree to ask the board president or the superintendent to place an item on the agenda instead of bringing it up unexpectedly at the meeting.
Okay.
Then move, surprises to the board, treasurer, superintendent will be the exception, not the rule.
Oh, I see.
So that would be
okay.
The last change
in the order of this presentation.
I just think it flows.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will take your word on that. I'm not a flow expert. But other than that, everybody's okay with that particular item. Okay, number three, conduct at a board meeting is very important. The board will lead by example. We agree to avoid words and actions that create a negative impression on an individual, the board, or the district. While we encourage debate and differing points of view, we will do it with care and respect.
I guess the things that stuck out for me is avoid words. I mean, we agree to avoid words and actions that create a negative impression. I'm thinking there's a lot of interpretation as to what that is. So, for instance, if we're at the board table and I just want to talk openly and honestly about a situation, it may create a negative impression on the district because it happens to be, I mean, we just had a discussion that may have, you know, about their finances may create a negative impression on the district, but it was a reality of our situation, mm-hmm. You know, and to me it seems like it's...
I think the point of that statement was is you can say, hey, look, I don't agree with how we did this, but what you wouldn't say was, you know, why did those yo-yos do something like that?
Right, no, I understand the point. I mean, I'm just saying the way it's worded, sure. It almost seems like, you know, we're just putting on a puppet show up here. And, you know, you know, it's not that they're...
Sure, how would you like to change that?
I think that says it, avoid words and actions that create a negative impression on an individual.
The board or the district.
Like attacking someone personally.
Right. I understand.
Something about without being disagreeable.
Or we could say we agree to carefully choose our words so as not to, you know, I don't know, so as not to...
Yeah, so I was thinking along those lines, some being aware of the fact that what we say at this table is representative of this board and the district, and we need to carefully choose our words and be aware of that, but... Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we agree to carefully choose our words and actions so that we do not create
So as not to.
Oh, my gosh. Are you writing this down?
No, because you are.
I'm trying, but it'll never make its way.
I know. So you don't want to have that. We don't want to cover things up. We don't want to make everything look rosy all the time.
No, I agree.
So we want to be honest. So just carefully choose our words in describing... honest,
without being disagreeable
and
or disrespectful.
Right, and be aware that it does have a reflex
with respect,
on our door.
With respect.
Well, the last sentence says that.
Yeah,
while we encourage
like
debate
sentence.
And differing points of views, we will do it with care and respect.
In fact, you could almost just take out everything after actions and just say, we agree to carefully choose our words and actions.
Yeah.
And then just take out from that all the way down to the end of that sentence. That makes sense? Everybody okay with that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number four, to be efficient and effective. Really? long board meetings must be avoided.
Steps first?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Maybe just take this one out. All right.
I know.
To be efficient and effective, long board meetings must be avoided. Or
I thought must be is too
short. Yeah, I was about to say I was just going to take that out. Long board meetings should be.
Every attempt should be made to avoid long meetings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I think.
But I just don't want to cut meetings short. Just cut meetings short. I mean, if we're sitting here.
Yeah.
I don't like the next sentence at all. Because right above we say, we encourage debate.
Yeah.
And then we say, don't talk.
Can we just start by stating the purpose of the board meetings? And then if we feel like we need to adjust it down the road, that we can adjust it. I mean, just.
Sure.
I mean, I don't think.
Board meetings are for decision making, action, votes, not endless discussion.
Yeah. I think just that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, what are we doing?
We're taking out the first two sentences. And just say board meetings are for decision-making, action, and votes, not endless discussion.
And I would make that not in
at quarter to nine.
Change
nine.
The way that's set.
Yeah, I don't always like how that's done.
I'm gonna send a copy. I'll tell you what. When we're done, I'm gonna send it. I'll try to make the edits, and then I'll send a copy out, and I'm sure you guys will.
Yeah, like endless is kind of everything, but endless is anything.
Okay, number five. The board will speak to issues on the agenda, not engage in inappropriate debate.
What exactly does that supposed to mean?
That would be like, you know, if you're going off on a tangent and you're starting to debate about issues that aren't on the agenda, you know, like if I don't know.
Have we ever had such an instance?
Well, I don't.
That's why you have protocols.
Yeah, I don't know if we have or not, but that doesn't mean we won't.
Yes, you know.
We're not all five going to be sitting here. You know, the excellent board members that we are, there may be people that come in after us.
I think just the first part says it, right?
Yeah.
Speak to issues
on
the agenda.
Okay.
So maybe like keeping some of the negative endings off and just stating the fact.
Yeah, sure.
So that you're
okay.
Speak to the issues on the agenda.
Okay, board members will review agenda items prior to board meetings and will request any additional information from the treasurer or superintendent prior to the meeting.
Can I go back to five real quick?
You sure can.
So if we are following Robert's rules and we're having discussion, should we be putting things on the table for discussion?
You don't really have to vote for a discussion, do you?
Not vote, but don't you have to put items onto the table for discussion? Like, we shouldn't be discussing anything really at the board unless it's been...
Just if it's on, you can discuss it if it's on the agenda. There's certainly discussion items on the agenda, but there, you put a motion forward for something you're going to vote on.
But I thought you put a motion. I thought you put a motion on the table, and I could be wrong. I'm not obviously Robert's rules.
Not as far as I know. I mean, I would look to people have been doing, but as far as my intensive research is showing.
I was going to say, I think at High Point we motioned put every agenda item on the table, but I could be wrong on that too.
Well,
I think technically you would do that. You would always have a motion to even put a discussion item on the agenda. Some places just shorten it by just putting a section into their agenda where they say discussion items.
I think you can have a little bit of flexibility with Robert's
rules.
I mean, but again, it was just more of a point of, you know, we don't want to walk in and say, oh yeah, and by the way, we want to debate, you know.
Well, that's
whatever.
Covered by the no surprise.
Yes. See, if you have a section that says discussion items, it's on your agenda, like this one tonight.
And you approved your
agenda. Discussion item. It was written board protocols. When you took a motion to approve the agenda, you approved those items. So you approved those for discussion. I think that's how you get around it.
Okay.
Well, I don't think we're trying to get around it. I think we're just trying to
adding more items to the agenda.
Exactly. Well, yeah, slowing it down even more. So where are we at? Number five?
Six. I'm sorry.
Okay. So board members will review the agenda of the items prior to board meetings and will request any additional information from the treasurer superintendent prior to the meeting. If a board member believes she or he does not have enough information or has questions, either the superintendent or board president is to be called before the meeting.
I have an issue with the second sentence.
All right.
Just because it sounds as if discussions could be going on outside of the open meeting that should be going on during the open meeting, mm-hmm. as opposed to mm-hmm. questions. I mean, are there questions about... So you can prepare for the meeting, or are they just questions to discuss the issue? Do you see what I mean?
But I mean, if it's just between two people, we're allowed to do that anyways, discussion between two people. And like, for, you know, I wanted some history on the BMI screening stuff that we're going over because I'm new and I wasn't familiar with it.
Right,
so
and
I
that is in preparation
that.
For the meeting so
right.
that you can.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So would you
that's
like,
just what I mean.
So would you like to say, or has questions...
I don't know. I didn't
have
an idea,
that?
But that was my only thought when reading that, that it could
but
be
do you
perceived
want to
as
limit,
that.
But do you want to, I mean, as board members, you and I are allowed to go out and talk about something. We can't talk as a threesome. So, I mean, I guess I'm just, from the minimal training that I've had, I don't know that it's wrong to talk to one other board member.
I guess I would be under the assumption that we would, that we were always under the, you know, we were always going to follow the law.
Right.
Regardless, I guess.
I guess my only thing on this is that by making a phone call to you because we have questions, as opposed to how we do it now, whereas we send an email and we copy the whole board on it.
Right.
So that we ask questions for more information, which I think is what, that's plenty fine within the open meeting laws.
Right.
So you ask more information, so like I send something to Cindy and say, hey, I got some questions, and she responds back, the whole board benefits from the answer.
Right.
And I, as opposed to the way this is written, saying we make a call to the board president, I think that's where you get in trouble if I call you and then you, you know, we start doing this
daisy chaining
thing.
Right.
And I think
I more read that as, hey, I can't get this information. Can you help me get it?
Got it. Okay.
Now, we can change the way that's written to.
Yeah, I think the only thing I circled on it was call or email or whatever.
Right, it should be contact. It shouldn't be called. Contact is really the better way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't have all the time.
Now, is it part of our protocol to copy the board on questions like that?
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I think that's something we should add.
We've kind of fallen into.
That would fall right into that.
I think that actually is one of our board policies.
I'm sure. Oh.
You know.
Probably.
That if you're requesting information.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Probably still worth putting
it. I think it's worth putting on.
You know, their request
yeah.
is made.
But I mean, yeah, I agree.
So if somebody can't get to an email, okay, I'll give you an example.
Right.
If I'm working clear up to the time I walk in here, I don't go home, I can't get to an email. Do you want me to call all five of you?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
see what I'm saying? Now you've got a situation.
Call.
If I need
yeah.
to call Jeff or I need to
well.
Call Bill, now do I call all five of you as a rule, if that's going to be a rule? Because if I'm out on my job,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of times I can't get to a computer.
I think these are, I mean, even though, don't correct me if I'm wrong, but these are protocols, meaning this is how we should operate, and if there's going to be times
when
we don't.
There that it is, it's preferred.
It's a best
preferred
practice.
Preferred to contact everyone if.
And the way it's happened before, there's been times where I've asked a question to Cindy, and it's just been to Cindy because
right.
her and I were chatting about something,
right.
and she goes, well, this is something I think the rest of the board would be interested in, so she pushes it out. So
mm-hmm.
if you had that conversation with Jeff, and he
right.
says, well,
mm-hmm.
I think the rest of the board might be interested, he can email the rest of the board
yep.
and the same response.
Yep.
So
right.
I think we can.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, we've passed
okay.
our lot of 15 minutes. I'll make those changes at the top of this, and when I send it out, if you would look over the rest of it, and so next time we come in here, we can edit the rest of those a little quicker. And I'll fix all my capitalizations. Okay, and hopefully by next meeting we'll get our protocol
here.
Done.
Yeah, I put that on there too.
All right. Moving forward. Next up is the minutes. I need a motion to approve the January 24th, 2012 special meeting minutes, as well as the January 26th, 2012 regular meeting minutes. And the February 9th, 2012 special meeting minutes, please.
I move to approve them.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion, please? Having none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Laster.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the financial items submitted by the treasurer, please.
Second.
Moved and second. Cindy.
There's not a whole lot other than what we talked about on the financials. Pretty quiet month of January. We moved into a new banking. We went from PNC to Huntington at the end of January. So.
Is that for everything?
Yes.
For our payroll? I mean, that's
yes.
our payroll and all that stuff?
All accounts.
It sounds like we might be getting interest.
Yes, we're getting interest finally.
No way.
At all.
Got a sweet
no,
now.
All right, you go, Cindy.
Get excited about these.
Well,
guys.
Yeah. The way that it's working, it seems to be working quite well. So
it's good.
And there it is. They're wonderful to deal with.
Yes, they are.
Is that it?
That's it.
Was there any discussion, questions?
No.
Right to left?
No, sir.
Hearing none, can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Laster.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. The next, from 10 to just as a note to those keeping score, 10 through 24 are the superintendent's items.
So first up, I need a motion to approve the resolution to waive the body mass index screening.
So moved.
I will second that. Dr. Reimer?
Yeah, that recommendation is made just because of, I think, too, in the same frame of mind that many districts are doing with that particular thing, almost hoping that that's going to go away someday. A lot of people have seen that as a real a privacy issue and many kinds of issues. While it was well intended, I think a lot of districts are dragging their feet on that, hoping that it eventually doesn't have to be done, and or that it's done more often through the private communication between doctors and families. Mm-hmm. So I think we're, as was said earlier, we're joining a number of districts that are just right now just asking for the waivers because they know that we know we can.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the Council of Government designee. It's getting late. I need a second, please.
Second.
Moved and second. Dr. Reimer, you have anything to add to that?
Nope.
Hey, any discussion from the board? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, accept student on a tuition basis. I need a motion to approve the grant enrollment on a tuition basis to Thomas W. Rush as a 7th grade student at Marysville Schools at the state mandated tuition rate effective with the 2012-2013 school year.
Moved.
Second. Okay, moved and second.
Dr. I don't have anything to add with that particular one, but I did want to add for the next one that you're going to face, number 13, I would suggest that you consider taking 13 through 19 all together because they're all employment issues, and I doubt that there's really a lot of question about any of them.
Okay.
Okay. Any discussion about item 12, student tuition? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Move items 13 to 19.
Okay. So I'm just going to run through them real quick. I'm sorry, 13 to 19, did you say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up then I'm going to need a motion to accept item 13, staff resignation, accept the resignation of Larry Carsey, the bus driver, effective 2011-2012. Item 14, leaves of absence, approve the leave of absence for those two employees listed. Item 15 is to employ district staff. It's recommended that the board approve a one-year limited contract for 2011-12 for Jared Matthews, a second, I'm sure I didn't pronounce that right, second shift custodian at Creekview, who's a replacement. Item 16, employ district student staff. To employ the following two students as work transition students for 2011-2012. Item 17 would be the supplemental contracts. The request is to approve the following supplemental contracts. Obviously, employment is conditioned upon a BCI report and all other revised code items. Item 18 is a request to approve intramural coaches for the Bunsold Middle School 7th and 8th grade intramural basketball for Tyler Craig and Greg Stubbs. And then item 19 is a request to approve the district substitutes and home instructors, and that's for those employees listed below. So I need a motion to approve items
13.
Thank you. 13 through 19, as I just read.
Second.
All right. Moved and second. Any discussion? Starting right to left, Mrs. Powers. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
What is a faculty, what is it, advisor? Faculty manager. It's on the supplementals.
I guess a facility manager.
It's manager at Games to help out with the.
Help with administration.
Yeah.
At Games.
Games, yeah. Athletic events.
Got it. Okay. Sorry. I was thinking board games.
Holy cow.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Any other questions, Mr. Lasker? Any questions, comments?
No, that's good.
Mrs. Devine.
Yeah, on the intramural, is that a new program at the middle school?
Intramural was the one that I would have commented on, and that's the that is brand new to us, and that's brand new because for the first time we cut B teams this
right.
year
right.
from basketball, and so in place of those B teams, that allows anywhere from 36 to 40 of our students to play. They've been formed onto three different teams, and they rotate playing each other.
Great.
In an intramural plan. That's what that is. And the fee that is listed there is not paid by the school system. That's paid through the fee that the children
pay
give to
be part
of it.
Okay. Good.
Any other questions? Mrs. Devine?
That was it. Thank you.
Mrs. Greer?
No questions.
I have no questions. Hearing no further questions, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Levy?
Yes. Motion is carried. Okay, item 20, district volunteers. I need a motion to accept the following folks as district volunteers for the 2011-2012 school year.
Second.
Moved in second. Amy, Dr. Reimer.
Nothing to add.
Any questions, comments from the board? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Yeah. Are you sure about him? Are you sure?
Just so quiet, really, once. Item 21, fundraiser. There is a request to approve a fundraiser for the Edgewood PTO, for the Edgewood Elementary Pennies for Patients, for the Mill Valley Elementary Pennies for Patients, and for the Navin PTO fundraiser with the Dutch Mill Greenhouse. Can I please have a motion to accept that?
It's moved.
I will second that. Moved and second. Dr. Reimer?
The only thing I would say to you there is that I probably will not be bringing you these in the future. I'm not certain that it's wise for the board to approve these, frankly. But I know it's been our practice, and so I've done that. But these are really fundraisers that are run by our PTO organizations, and we don't have control over that. We don't have fiscal controls over that. So it might be best that they just do that themselves.
Is that the point? Is the point of that to approve that? So that they can do those inside the school, so they can run a fundraiser. Is that even required?
No, it's not required.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's been our practice, and I think that's why it's on here. But both Cindy and I have talked about it, and we're not really sure that we'll be bringing you ones in the future of those, because I'm not sure it's necessary for them to do that.
Okay.
Unless you have an objection to that.
No objection.
I mean, I see the benefit of maybe why it was there in the first place in terms of giving awareness to people that these things are going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make sure that it's not anything too crazy.
Well, I mean, for one, it draws it's like kind of draws some attention that
they're doing
we have a fundraiser, and also to let the people know that there's this kind of collaborative effort.
Yeah, that
yep.
But yeah, I don't.
We get those in the building reports.
It's in the building reports, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're made aware of it that way.
Any further board comments or questions? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is a recommendation to approve the following student teachers for the 2011 and 2012 school year. Can I get a motion to accept those, please?
A motion.
Second.
Moved in second. Dr. Reimer.
Nothing yet.
Any questions, comments from the board? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is a request to approve the following student overnight trips. The Marysville High School mock team will travel overnight to Columbus for the Ohio competition on March 8th, 2012. Marysville High School's First Robotics Club will travel overnight to Cleveland, Ohio for a competition on March 22nd through March 24th. And Marysville High School Show Choir will travel to Wheaton, Illinois to compete on March 9th, 2012. I need a motion to accept that, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Dr. Reimer.
Nothing to add.
Any questions from the board? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, for donations to the district, there's a request to accept the following donations. To Edgewood Elementary, playground equipment from the Edgewood PTO, valued at $19,000.
Awesome.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Donation to Navin Elementary, B and Me by Ellie McGinnis from Read More Books, and food items from Susan Stiers of Premier Salon. The donation to the high school of the following list of nursing textbooks from Deidre Arms to be used in the Marysville High School Library. And I would like a motion to accept those. With gratitude, please.
I'll accept. I move.
Second.
Moved and second. Dr. Reimer, any comments?
Nope.
I have any comments, questions from the board?
That was a pretty neat book, that B&E.
Yeah.
Working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Was that playground equipment part of the competition? You remember they won that competition?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was.
Anybody know?
Yeah.
That
was
is
it?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Cool.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Item 25 is just final comments and questions from the board. I have one particular item. it's actually very interesting what I have to say. On our, actually, I have two items. On our super, I know. I'm the board president, though. I can add those as I go. the search calendar, I believe we have a board meeting scheduled on the 13th of March. Is my understanding that date will not work. Is it possible we can move that back to the 12th? Yes? Everybody okay with that? It's a Monday. We were scheduled for Tuesday, March 13th. This will be moved back to Monday, March 12th. And that is a work session. Yeah. It'll be a 6 o'clock work session for the board. Everybody okay with that? Okay. Then as our fine consultant sitting in the crowd would please make a note.
He's awake, I think.
You're a good man. And then really the only other item is, and I'd like, as we're all sitting here, the review committee went over the applications for the superintendent applicants, and we have decided on 6 applicants that we will begin interviewing on Monday. So we'll be interviewing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
I'm sorry. We'll be interviewing Monday, Tuesday, Thursday of next week, and then we will be doing our second round interviews the following week. And so I just wanted to let everyone know kind of where we are in that process. I think we had a very good group of applicants, and I'm looking forward to moving on to that first interview process. So.
I had a couple comments.
Absolutely.
One, just want to mention the building tours that we did.
Yes.
I think that was just incredible for us to get a chance to do that and see what's going on there. And the first time when reading the building reports, it brought those more to life. Because I was able to visualize what's going on in the school, so I want to thank everybody who's been part of that, I'm sure. The other thing I want to mention there's a good chance I might miss some board meetings coming up over the next couple months.
Okay.
Because I'm going to have some surgeries.
Right.
So,
you got room in your living room? You can serve cookies and coffee in there, but we'll be in there.
We can wheel it first.
And I don't know what my mobility will be, so okay. I might be able to make it. If I do, I'm sure I'm going to have to replace this chair with something. If not, I'd like to explore the possibility of at least being able to call in. I know I can't be part of the quorum, and I know I can't vote, but
right.
I can.
Yeah, we can. I think we have that big speakerphone or something.
I don't know about Skype. I don't want to think of
maybe
see me.
Okay. As we'll get closer to that, well, I mean, okay. We'll do everything we can.
13th is my first surgery, so that's why we're moving that one, part of the reason. I'm having surgery on the 13th.
Are you going to be available? You don't know, though. For the 15th, meeting on the 15th?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, they say two nights. So.
Yeah. All right. So I got a grandchild on the way, and I was.
What's that?
You said I got to be here.
Yeah. She said I'll be on drugs.
Yeah. And we can't get you to vote on that day.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever. That's the way you vote.
Okay. Well, as it gets close, then we'll figure out something the closer it gets. But yeah, I don't see why that would be an issue.
Okay.
Were there any other comments, questions while we're at this particular agenda item? Okay. If not, then we are going to move into executive session to discuss personnel. I need a motion to do just that.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, we are in executive session at 9:17.